Right, Amanda, what are we doing today?
We're doing Reading in Bed, episode 59.
Yeah, the penultimate episode, Amanda, isn't it?
Yeah, because we're going bye-bye.
Well, we're resting is the exact words, isn't it? So from like I said, after next month, which is going to be a Christmas special, Amanda, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, now people want to work with Christmas special. What do we do with the Christmas special, Amanda?
We do the awards.
Yeah.
For various different categories that we come up with. Nobody actually gets anything. It's just virtual rewards.
Exactly. And some of them are more obscure than others, okay? And obviously, with Reading in Bed 60 next month, that will be just one episode again, Amanda, won't we? Back to one for the last of the regular episodes anyway. So, and we will try and do what would I kind of book each should we try and aim for next month?
I'm going to try and read Stephen King book, so that really will take me on one.
Yeah, that will. I've got to read something that I've not decided yet, but definitely I've got a book I want to read. So I'm humming and hawing or something at the moment. So I'm not definitely not read it reading in bed. So, but watch this space, okay? Anyway, Reading in Bed 59A. Yes, we are doing it split again this month, Amanda, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we get onto the book we're going to review it in this half, I noticed the word book. I only do one in this half because it's going to be a fairly lengthy review, I think, personally. We have news, don't we, Amanda?
Yeah.
What news have we got, Amanda?
The runner-up in Hannah Kate's bookshelf. She does the 3-minute scares every year.
Hannah's
and
bookshelf.
Normally, I just get the honourable mention. Yeah.
Hannah's bookshelf, people wondering, is a weekly online and also radio programme for North Manchester FM in England between 2 p.m. Is it 2 p.m., isn't it?
Yeah, 2 p.m.
2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Yeah. Ever Saturday. It's a great show, really is. And last year, I entered it myself, first time I'd ever done it. And I got third prize, didn't I, Amanda? So I was delighted with. And yeah. I got an honourable mention this year, which I'm delighted with again. I'm made up, Amanda got a placing in it. I'm so, so pleased for her with that. So, and yeah, well, that programme is going to be going live shortly. So we've not seen it yet ourselves, but we look forward to hearing it. Right. Okay, Amanda. Shall we go on to the book for this half?
Yeah.
Okay. How do you want to do this?
Well, I'm going to read the blurb out just in case it's different to yours, because I've actually two of my comments are related to the blurb.
Okay. Well, if my blurb is different, then I can read my blurb afterwards. But yeah, that's fine. Do it. Okay. Go for it.
Yeah. The book's called Dracula's Child by J.S. Barnes, and the blurb is, it has been some years since Jonathan and Mina Harker survived the ordeal in Transylvania, and vanquishing Count Dracula returned to England to try and live ordinary lives. But shadows linger long in this world of blood feud and superstition, and the older their son Quincy gets, the deeper the shadows that lengthen at the heart of the Harkers' marriage. Jonathan has turned back to drink. Mina finds herself isolated after the confines of her own family. Quincy himself struggles to live up to a family of such high renown, and when a gathering of old friends leads to unexpected tragedy, their very particular wounds in the heart of the Harkers' marriage are about to be exposed. There is a darkness both within the marriage and without, for while Jonathan and Mina wrestle with the right way to raise their child, while still recovering from the past traumas of their past lives, their new evil is arising on the continent. A naturalist is bringing a new species of bat back to London. Two English gentlemen on their separate tours of the continent find a strange love for each other and stumble into a calamity far worse than ever as imagined. And the vestiges of something fought long ago forgotten is finally beginning to stir.
That's the same blurb as I've got, people wondering as well. Now, we are going to be honest with this, man, before we start. We didn't like this book, did we, Amanda, straight away before we
No,
start?
that's soon going to become obvious anyway,
Yeah,
even
it
without
will.
putting it out.
It will. Now, I'm going to be frank for Eisteddfod. I've got no positive comments on this book at all. I believe Amanda has, so I'm going to let Amanda say what she likes now.
Okay, so for me, I listened on the audiobook book, so I had it read to me. I didn't make a note of who the narrator was. There was quite a few narrators actually, and I think they did a pretty decent job of telling the story. It's just they just had the story to work with, and it wasn't very good.
Now we
But at
have to
least
make.
I think they added something to it. But
Now
they're not miracle workers.
we have to start, don't we? The book itself in length was 566 pages, I seem to recall, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I have to ask you, if you listened to on the audio version, what was that about? 11 hours?
Something like that. It felt like much longer.
Yeah, it did for me when I was reading it as well. It was a torturous process. Really, really a torturous process. Now, I'm going to let Amanda start now. I've got a number of points I want to go through. How do you want me to do this, Amanda? Do you want me to go through my points and you chip in with them and we could touch on anything else you've got at the end of it or?
Yeah.
Okay. First thing, I've got 7 points here, okay? The pacing. I've both said already. The book itself is 506 pages, 66 pages, and it felt like it as well, didn't it, Amanda?
Yeah.
How do you feel about the movement in this book, Amanda? Because I found it way too slow.
Yeah, I know, like eventually, like all the different pieces come together, but it just seemed to take forever to get to that point, and it was just a bit of an anticlimax. It took so long, and then it was over pretty quickly. And with the audiobook version, I didn't even understand what exactly had happened. I had an idea, but I think it sort of skimmed through it a bit too fast, considering how much there was building up to it.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where I'm going to cover other parts, but there's certain tricks they've done. But the pacing of the book for me, it was way too slow. And if I'm honest, I felt an editor should have had spoke to the author about this, because the original Bram Stoker's Dracula certainly wasn't 566 pages, half of that. If the book had been cut in half and certainly speeded up towards the climax, I made a better climax, they might have got away with this, but no. Straight away, it was too slow. So, is there anything else you want to talk about with the pacing of this book, Amanda?
No, not so much. I think I've said everything about the pacing.
Right, okay. I've got to ask you as well. How did you like it when the book itself was pretty sure it was all for the book of journals, extracts, diary extracts, newspaper clippings? Did that work for you?
I can see why they did it, but it felt like very telling rather than showing.
Yeah.
So
No.
it sort of distanced the reader from it a little bit. And
Yeah.
I don't think that was a good thing.
No, it wasn't. I'm reading at the moment a proper diaries book actually by a French erotic writer actually. If I ever have the guts, I might actually do this for reading in bed and next month maybe by a French writer called Ananas Nin, and I'm reading her first book at the moment. Of her diary, and it's really, really powerful. And it uses dialogue like this book does, but it has an authenticity, if you know what I mean. You feel it, don't you? Like it's a proper journal or diary. And
Yeah.
this didn't,
Yeah,
it should have really done to drop the idea of constant journals to me and perhaps just told it a straight novel that way, because it's. And also, I had issues with. As well, on this same point, there was, and then one of the newspaper articles as well. I wrote it down, but one of the newspaper articles came reasonably early in the book, and it happened again where it didn't feel like what early 20th century style in the newspaper journalism if I've studied it. It felt like it was they were trying to do a pastiche on it and didn't succeed. Did that make sense?
I think for me, because I was listening to the audio version, the narrators for each separate part I think they did a good job of making it feel like it was in the past, but I can't speak about the Kindle version because I didn't read it on Kindle.
Yeah, well, I suspect you probably wouldn't have enjoyed it anyway anymore.
I did
So,
enjoy it much on the audio version.
exactly. Now, I want to ask you about a couple of the characters, okay? And then we'll, like I said, there's plenty I want to ask you about as well, okay? The rest of my points are on the characters, okay? I was a bit disturbed by, and this is, they wrote this in a very old-fashioned way, and it's a dodgy area on some of the use of some of the women characters in it. Because I was a bit worried about the character of Sarah Ann Dowell, who we wrote very worriedly. This felt to me, you can tell it was wrote by a male character. By the way, too many male characters whose number were double her age to a desiring her. And then like they had the son Quincy, who was staring at her, and that like I couldn't have seen a child at that age doing that sort of thing. So, and I was a bit, you know what I mean, ill at ease in that, because I felt myself, I wasn't sure if the writer had a really good grip on female characters in the book. So I'm gonna have to ask you this as a lady.
Yeah, but as a slight spoiler, it turns out that Quincy's like a vessel for Dracula. So when he's staring at Sarah and Dowell, it's like, is it really him staring at her, or is it Dracula staring at her through his eyes?
Yeah, that's it's a point, isn't it? But you know what I mean? It's still, I was a bit ill at ease on it in places in that section. I kind of guessed it was coming that way, but I just found the whole thing in places. I didn't think he had really good grips of female characters sometimes. That was a problem. That's the next point, and then that's it. This is how good we are
Yeah, but
here.
I think in those days as well, I think females just, well, wasn't treated very well. I mean, I won't say they're treated that great now, but it was probably worse being a woman back in those days than it is now.
Yeah, no. So it's a fair point. It's just you're trying to do a book sequel to an established favourite like that. Is what level do you go? Do you do like what this book tried to do? Would have been a direct sequel, but you're looking at the way writing's moved on since then. It's a real tricky area, if you know what I mean. So, one of the characters that came into it, I struggled with. Is it? Oh, and I'm no good at pronunciation here. Is it? I spell it ILE. A-N-A. Alania, is it?
Sounds about right,
Yeah, I didn't get on the stand-up character because it seemed like the character appeared out of nowhere and there wasn't any development on the character at all, really. We understood the motive was to help bring back Dracula, but then it seems very unclear at best and massively undeveloped.
Was this the Transylvanian woman or
Yes, it
vampire that was
was.
helping
Yes.
Dracula?
Yes,
Yes.
that's the one, yeah. I found that a bit, you know what I mean? A bit, it was, as confused me that part, to be honest with you. That's why so. But then, like, it's. What was there any of the other characters, Amanda, that really stood out to you in this book that you want to talk about? Because I've got a few more I could ask questions about.
No, I would have liked to see more of Van Helsing, but he dies pretty early on in the book.
Spoiler. Spoiler, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, he does, doesn't it?
I
You
wouldn't
see.
recommend reading it anyway, so don't even bother.
Oh no, I love Van. Honestly, in the original Dracula, Van Helsing was great. Really decent character. But this is like, I didn't like the way they basically washed him out of the book because they dragged his death scene out over about, what, 60 pages, 70 pages, was it? Probably even
Yeah,
more.
but you didn't really see much of him, did you? Or like get to see him as a person.
No, and that's a missed opportunity, that one, really, don't you? I really, really felt it was. And what did you think to these two characters, Maurice Hallam and Gabriel Shon?
This was the gay couple where there was an older guy and a much younger guy.
That's the ones, yeah. I didn't get that. Didn't like those characters at all, to be honest, and it felt a bit woke in places to me, if I'm honest.
I mean, the problem I had with it feels like, obviously I know like Van Helsing and Jonathan and Mina Harker, but I felt like I should know some of the other characters. I might be wrong here, but I feel like maybe they're from the film or the book or something. But obviously I'm not geeky enough to really know like the small minor characters, but it felt like I was missing out a little bit. Like it was aimed at people that really know like the minute details of Dracula and the characters in it.
I think they were new characters, those two, to be honest, yeah. The son certainly was. That's why now the character I've
Oh
talked
yeah,
about
the
before.
sun's new, yeah.
Yeah. And the female character I've talked before, that's definitely new as well. But yeah, it I don't know, it is awkward this one because I felt like the writer was trying to be more ambitious and perhaps do what it should have been, really. What do you think?
I think it could have just been any vampire story, and they've just sort of put the name Dracula into it, but it didn't feel like Dracula, it just felt like just another vampire story.
Yeah, really, it didn't. I was really surprised at this. You think really, the publisher would have had to go to the Stoker estate for this, because I know they do to keep the copyright for this book. And I'm kind of surprised in some ways that the Stoker estate agreed to this book actually coming out.
Yeah, I
That's
think it
why.
was Titan Books published it, I think. That's a fairly decent sized publisher.
Yeah, certainly not a small publisher at all. It was like, it's worrying really, Jonathan. They actually agreed to put something out there, so that's why. Tell me, okay, let me ask you then, what did you think about Quincy the Sun?
To say the book's called Dracula's Child and he's clearly supposed to be Dracula's child in some way, which I've sort of mentioned already anyway,
Yeah.
it didn't really show much of him.
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking about myself with that. I was really surprised how undeveloped it was, really. Really, really surprised that the character wasn't it. It's was just a really, really tricky area, to understand. I don't really do themselves in the favours of this. Quite a few things in this one at all. And that's one of them, so. But again, who are but we to judge Amanda, aren't we, on it? So, as I would say with that. So, yeah, it's just. I found it a really tricky one. Really, really tricky one, to be honest with yourself. And is there anything else specifically you want to touch on with this book?
There's a couple of things about the blurb where it mentions about Jonathan turning back to drink, and it's like, I don't remember Jonathan Harker having a drink problem, and I went as far as Googling it, and I couldn't find anything to confirm it. So I don't know where they get this idea from that he's turned back to drink.
Yeah, I don't remember because I've read the original Dracula. God, it was a few years ago that as well. Yeah, it wasn't. It was like my mate in work I used to work with. I showed him, sent him the blurb over this book, and he turned around and said to me that second paragraph was god awful. His exact words, it put him right off it. And he asked me, he said it just didn't feel like it was proper sequel to Dracula. I felt like these words were fan fiction.
Yeah, and then the other thing as well in the blurb, where it talks about the trauma from the past lives, and that makes it sound like they're being reincarnated, and they used to be Jonathan and Mina, but now they're reincarnated, and it's not the case. It's just like it means trauma from the past in this life.
Yeah,
And you
very,
could
very.
pick it up thinking it's a completely different book to what it is.
Yeah, if people look at this, they will see this, and it's worrying, to be honest. Yeah, I think it's really, really worrying what they've done in this book. I don't. It just doesn't. Am I right in saying this? Does it feel like he never got to grips with the book, did he?
No.
And that's what we feel like. It just didn't feel like it was any kind of real sequel to Dracula, really, I felt. Just really, really misjudged. Now, is there anything else, Mandy, you want to talk about this book before we get into marking? I have to ask you.
I just think there were lots of cringy parts in it. It's like they seem to think like there's a set criteria, like nudity and sex and vampires and things like that. But I think they just did everything wrong. And there's like so many scenes in this, and like the vampires lying naked above them and like teasing them and stuff like that. But it just didn't feel like the sort of vampires, but like the classic vampires that I know.
Yeah, it's exactly the same problem I've got with it myself, and it misjudged it basically. It really, really misjudged its book and navigating every level. I have to be honest. It's what's bizarre is, did you want to look at any of the reviews on this book, Amanda, on Goodreads?
No.
I did, and there was loads of them giving it 8, 9, 10 out of 10. And I was just sat there thinking, I thought, so you do, well, you do wonder sometimes, are we reading the same book or something?
Yeah. It makes you wonder if they're all the Twilight fans, though.
Yeah, definitely that one is like I love vampire stuff, and My favourite vampire film is Nosferatu. And I don't think you've ever seen that yet, Amanda, have you? The original Nosferatu.
No.
It's fantastic.
There was a
It's.
vampire series that was quite modern that I used to read the books of, and I've forgotten what it's called now. But that was quite a grown-up series. And like it did have sex in it, but it wasn't all about sex.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up because I've forgotten what it's called now.
No, that's fair. It's like it's. You do wonder sometimes, don't you? Like it's. When you're looking at stuff like that, it's. You wonder if it's you, and it's like. It's not. It's. It, I just found it. It was just incredibly misjudged. Really, really misjudged it was. So. Now, I've got to ask you, Anderson, I've covered all my points. Is there anything else you need to go through with this from your side?
Just a slight spoiler at the end, and that really didn't work for me. And I just like wanted to throw my Kindle against the wall, but I'm not rich, so I can't afford a new Kindle.
What was that then?
And it turns out right at the end that Mina's been turned into a vampire, but she's trying to behave, and she's only drinking blood from Jonathan.
Oh, God. Yeah, I forgot about that. Says it all, doesn't it? I'd completely forgotten about that. And I'm, oh, dear, dear, dear. That's awful. It kind of says it all, doesn't it, Amanda? Sometimes when you sat there, you just, you're right, it was cringing. That's absolutely dreadful. Oh, God. Completely, yeah. Agree with you on that. So, that one. So, we have to ask, obviously, if people are wondering, would we read another sequel to Dracula? Say, Dracula's Child.
No, I feel like the ending was trying to set it up. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the author tries to come out with like another book and like it's Mina as a vampire or something like that, but I
Oh.
won't be reading it.
No. It's quite telling, actually, really. I was going back through our Reading in Bed archive the other day, actually. And interesting enough, the first episode we ever did, because obviously this is episode 59, we were quite nice to the books, basically. But I always remember in the second episode we did, which if people want to go back to this, Reading in Bed episode 2. It has, interesting enough, there's two horror books on that year, done that episode. Do you remember them both, Amanda?
Was one of them the zombie book?
One was by Stephen King with his son Owen King, Sleeping Beauties, which I know you really liked. And the other
Yeah.
one is, yeah, and I'm going to name it because I don't, because we're finishing this podcast off next month. Frank Teale, Surviving the Evacuation, London, Book One. This book, I'm going to frank, is worse than that to me. Because that book, I think we give 3 out of 10 or something, didn't we, each or something? It was a very, very, very poor mark anyway.
I don't think I hated that book so much. I feel like there was another book. I've got the name Keith in my head, and I feel like there was another book by a zombie book by somebody called Keith. I've forgotten his surname, and I think I hated that one.
I'm just going to flick back through them now and have a quick look. There was a book on episode 4, April 2018. And I never read this by Keith Houghton called Crash.
I don't know. I'd have to have a look.
Anyway, we're not
People
going
can
to.
look back and find it anyway.
Yeah, they can work it out themselves. April
Yeah, there was
2018.
definitely a zombie book that we both hated anyway, and we kept bringing it up for episodes afterwards to compare other books against
Dear, yeah, I'm sure
it.
that London book. I'm sure it was that. I know I definitely despised that book. So, because I remember ringing you up. This is was digressing, but hey ho. But I was in a charity shop, man, the one in Chelten cum Hardy fairly recently. I rang you up about this, didn't I? And I saw the
Yeah.
complete list of that book that offers books in this charity shop on bookshelf. There must have been about 18 of them. And I thought to myself, somebody's obviously going to have bought all of them cheap somewhere and read them all. But, oh my God. But anyway, right, we better get on to marking, Amanda, hadn't we, so.
Yeah.
Okay, what mark are you giving us out of 10?
Okay, so I'm gonna give it a 10 out of 10. No, just kidding.
What, minus or 10 out of 10?
I'm giving it a 2.
Yeah, it's the same, to be honest with you. I don't think, I know you've done it, we have done worse before now, because people who can backtrack themselves, I can't remember which one it was. You seem to think we did a podcast once where we both marked a book 0 out of 10.
Yeah, I can't remember what the book was, but I definitely remember us marking something zero.
I can't remember. There was another one where you can find this well easy enough, where Amanda actually declined to name the book.
Yeah, and I got about 16 pages into it, and I had about half an hour worth of stuff to talk about. I think you had to shut me up, didn't
Zip.
you?
So anyway, well, I said, guys, the combined mark is 4 out of 20. So this is not a recommendation for reading in bed, unfortunately. Part two, which we will record next and be out in a couple of weeks' time, we will wait and see, won't we? So, and we've not decided on the order yet, so I'm going to nominate Amanda. You're next.
Dun,
So
dun, dun.
Amanda will be reviewing her solo book on 59B. Now in 2 weeks' time, okay? Right, Amanda, we better wrap up this first part, hadn't we?
Yeah.
Say bye.
Bye, everyone.
Ciao, ciao, guys. See you later.
Read in bed.